thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. If you are a visitor, certainly we appreciate you deciding to come and be a part of our services here. But members, we also are so thankful that you made the decision to be here today. And of course, we do know that there are those who aren't able to be here that are tuned in on live stream. And so every person who is here is important. But we have two here today who are here for the very first time. Well, at least outside of the womb. I love the Bowman family. They are just so great. I've known Glenn and Ashley for a long time, and to be able to watch them blossom as a couple, and then, of course, Laura Ann is such a brilliant, beautiful little girl. Well, today, they have their twins here. And so I told Glenn, we tried to work out a plan here. I don't know that I'm good with two at one time. But we're going to bring Evelyn up first and then Olin, okay? And we're going to show them off here. Be my very first time holding them. Ashley was pretty sick in the hospital, and so this is Evelyn. Evelyn Marie. Okay. Oh, my word. So beautiful. Look, I know those lights are bright to me too, baby. But look at Evelyn, y'all. Huh? How sweet is that? Not going to cry. My girl. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, I don't know the best way to... You sure? Okay. So little. Hey, Olin. And Olin's middle name is what?
Joseph Olin.
Joseph Olin. And this is Joseph Olin and going to go by Olin Bowman. Look at this handsome guy. How about that, right? We are so proud of you guys and so proud to see these babies. Thank you very much for letting me do that. I know, buddy. I know. Thank you, Glenn. Wow. Just amazing. Amazing to see God's hand in all things. You know, as we continue on this journey talking about being living stones, we're in a series of lessons now talking about being like Jesus. And so one thing I want to talk with you about this morning is praying like Jesus. Not, again, just any kind of praying, but praying like Jesus prayed. Now, think about this. The disciples, they didn't ask Jesus, teach us how to walk on water. They didn't ask Jesus, teach us how to raise the dead. Those might have been some things I would have thought, hey, I'd like to learn how to do that. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Probably because they were so moved by watching Him pray. Watching Him commune with His Heavenly Father, God in the flesh, talking to God in the Spirit. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, if we're going to truly be the living stones that Jesus and others, the Holy Spirit, has challenged us to be, then we've got to live like Him, we must talk like Him, we must react like Him, and yes, we must pray like Jesus. If you turn, it'll be on the screen, to Matthew 5:16. This is just a great verse in the middle of a great gospel, at the very beginning of this gospel, in the middle, but in the middle of what Jesus is doing, Jesus goes, as Luke says, He withdraws to a desolate place and pray. He withdrew to a desolate places to go and pray. I mean, think about that. This is God of the universe. This is God in the flesh What does he do? He gets away from the world to be still and know that God is God, and he goes and he prays. Why does he do that? Because he needs guidance from his Father. Because he needs comfort from his Father. He needs direction from his Father. But the word that I want to share with you today from this version, listen to the way this version records it. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He didn't just do it once. He didn't just do it twice. He did it all the time. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who spoke the world in existence, made prayer a priority. Cody, on Wednesday night, has been challenging us to find our prayer people. I am so blessed. This past week, I got to meet with my group twice. And the second time, there were more people in our group, that some that can't come on our scheduled day. We were able to get together and have that opportunity. And listen, the prayer is powerful. So is the fellowship. So is the bonding. So is the encouraging times. If you don't have a prayer group, hey, Justin says it all the time, see me, see Justin, see somebody, see Cody. We will plug you in somewhere. Because it doesn't mean that we think you are struggling with prayer, but the more we can get together and pray, the closer we're going to be. Because prayer is intimacy. You see, the word intimacy is not a bedroom word, if you will, right? It's not a, as we would call it, a S-E-X word, right? It's not that kind of word. I'm trying to remember the little ones in our presence. But what intimacy is, extreme closeness. And so if we're going to truly have that intimate relationship with God, then we've got to spend time in prayer to Him. We've got to spend time getting to talk to Him, know Him, be with Him. If Jesus needed to pray, we certainly need to. I know we're busy. I know we're all busy people. We've got jobs, we've got kids, we've got bills, we've got schedules. Life's coming, and it's coming really fast. But Jesus shows us that this walk with God, prayer is not optional. It must be something we do. In fact, prayer is oxygen for the soul. Today I'm challenging us. Let's be a people. Okay, you got to start with yourself. Let's be a person. Then let's be a couple if we're married. Then let's be a family if we have that family unit. And we're going to grow into, let's be a church family. Let's be a people of God who pray like Jesus. In order to do that, we're going to talk about three things. Three things that come from Scripture that reminds us of how Jesus, the Master Himself, prayed. And here they are. Number one, we must pray with purpose. Pray with purpose. First, Jesus teaches us to pray with purpose. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, some of you will know that as what we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, when He was putting these words together, again, teaching His disciples, teaching His followers how to pray, He didn't just throw some words together out of the midair. He didn't just say, hey, this word will work here, this will work here, and, you know, this is just off the cuff. No, it was all planned out. It was all purposely done. He prayed with intention. And that's how our prayers need to be. Now, I'm not saying there has to be a certain language and a certain way that we approach God. I think we must approach Him with reverence. But I think we need to understand, I believe with all my heart, if we're going to look and pray like Jesus, we must approach God with purpose. Jesus starts out the prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name." You know right there what He's doing? He's teaching us that prayer begins with the Almighty. It doesn't begin with us. Sometimes I think that's what we do with prayer. We just are able to call on God anytime we want because it's all about us. But it's really all about God. Now, through that, God grants us blessings, right? He grants us all the things that we need and a lot of the things that we want. And because of that, it's such a beautiful, intimate relationship we can have. But we need to remember that God, approaching Him through prayer, it's not just a spiritual wish list, it's worship. When I pray to God, it's part of my worship to God. It's part of my laying down my life in front of Him, knowing that He's going to hear those prayers. And He's going to answer them in the best way He knows possible for us. You see, when I pray, and I pray with purpose, and I pray like Jesus, it's about aligning our hearts with God's will. Didn't He say this in that prayer? Your kingdom come, Your will be done. When's the last time we prayed that in a minute? You see, that's hard to pray. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, three times He prayed, God, take this cup from me. What is the cup? The cup is the wrath of God. If you go back and you look at the Old Testament, God talks about pouring out His wrath. That cup that Jesus is talking about is the wrath of God that He had on sin, that He has on those who withdraw from Him or choose not to follow Him. That wrath, Jesus took it all on so that we didn't have to. But He didn't really want to, the human side of Him. He knew what was coming. He knew what was going to be a part of it. And so what did He pray? God, take this cup. Let it pass from me. But remember the last part of that. And He meant it because it was with purpose. He said, not my will, but Your will be done. You see, when we pray, God, if it's Your will, we got to remember He knows what's best. So He's not going to put something on us or allow us to have something that's going to cause us to withdraw from Him or be separated from Him. And so if that be the case, then we need to pray, God, Your will be done. Now that's hard to pray sometimes because we want something really, really bad. We want it really badly. And so we're praying, God, please, 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 please. And the whole time He's sitting there saying, it's not good for you. But it's about His will, not ours. Jesus had a purpose in prayer. And that purpose was to connect with the Father and to seek His guidance. In John 17, that's where Austin read to us from earlier. The whole chapter is a prayer of Jesus. And that prayer of Jesus, He's there praying for His disciples. He's praying for us. In that prayer, we see Jesus is so focused and He's so full of intention. He's not distracted. He's not rushed. How about us? How about us? Are our prayers purposeful? Or are they just a quick, hey, thank you for the food, God. Amen. Let's eat. Just something we little check off. So we know we're supposed to do it. But how purposeful are they? You know, in teaching my children to pray, I remember early on, you know, they would pray and then it would become kind of the same prayer every night. And so we had to stop and say, hey, are you really focusing on what you're saying? Or has it just become a routine we're going through? You know, in the mornings, I don't have to think about brushing my teeth. And I know you're thankful for that. I just get up and do it. Why? Because I've been doing it for a long time. I'm guessing as long as I could, right? Before when my mama quit doing it for me when I was a little baby. You see, that's a routine. I don't even have to think about it. I just get up and I go and brush my teeth. Is that how our prayer lives are? The same way we brush our teeth, it's just become a routine? Something we get up and do? Or do we do it at all? If we focus on praying with a purpose, if we focus on worship with God, part of our worship is praying. If we focus that it's not about me, it's about Him, then we should be serious about our prayers. Prayer isn't a ritual. It is a relationship. And we need to remember that. And we need to focus on that. I remember when that show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, was popular. You remember that show? I mean, it may still come on. I don't know. But I don't watch it anymore. But, it was popular. And we probably had three channels where I grew up. So, you didn't have much to choose from. But you remember one of those things you could do when it came to, I guess, winning the $1 million or what have you, was dial a lifeline. You could call on someone that in a minute or so, you could ask them the question, and, if they beat around the bush, you didn't want to call that person, but you only had a certain amount of time to get it in, and that person could help you answer that question. Folks, it's not $1 million, it's eternity. And your lifeline is the Creator of the universe. Think about that. What famous American or person that's ever existed, whether they're from America or not, would you like to call up today? I don't know who it is, but, some may want to call a former president or some athlete or some movie star or whatever. I don't know who that person that you think, hey, that would be neat to call. They're very famous. They were very wealthy. They're just snack guys. Today, you can call the Creator of the universe. Think about that. That's the power of prayer. I want to challenge us, starting tomorrow. I want to challenge you and I want to challenge me to start our days with purpose in prayer. In fact, before our feet hit the floor in the morning, may we just ask God to guide us today. Use me for Your glory today. One of my favorite songs that we sing is Father God. And the reason I love that song, Father God, is it's a prayer. We're singing a prayer. It says, Father God, you remember the next part? Just for today, help me walk Your narrow way. Then you know what I do the next day? I get up the next day and I say, God, just for today, help me walk Your narrow way. Before my feet hit the floor, before I have any other prayers, may we ask God to guide us, to use us, to let us be a light to those who are around us. Maybe you need to write down what you're praying for. I've known people to keep prayer journals. But I'm challenging us to be specific. Jesus didn't mumble His prayers. He knew what He was asking. Purpose fuels prayer. So may we all stop praying on autopilot. And may we start praying with a mission and purpose behind it. Secondly, this morning, I believe we need to pray with persistence. Jesus teaches us this. If you turn to Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus tells a parable about a widow who keeps bugging a judge until he gives her justice. Verse 1 goes like this, and He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. They ought always to pray and not lose heart. Did you get that? Always pray. Isn't that what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians? He said, pray without ceasing. Some versions say, pray without stopping. Don't ever quit praying. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Pray in a way that you do not lose heart. Be persistent. Jesus didn't pray when it was convenient. Again, going back to the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood, He said, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup, but not my will, but yours." He kept praying even when the answer wasn't what He wanted in the flesh. Think about that. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we probably give up too easily on our prayers. We pray once, we pray twice. If God doesn't answer by Tuesday, we're done. You know what Jesus said? Keep knocking. Keep praying. Don't give up. Be persistent. In Mark 1:35, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, He," Jesus Christ, "departed and went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed." You see, when I hear verses like that, it doesn't, it's not something that's out of the ordinary, right? When you hear Mark record that, and it's recorded in other places, Luke and others, you see that this wasn't something Jesus did just ever so often. He did it persistently. Maybe you've been praying for a lost child. You know, if there's someone in our family that hasn't come to Jesus, that's concerning, right? Maybe you've been praying because your marriage is broken. Maybe you've been praying because you've got health issues that are in crisis mode. Don't stop now. Keep praying. God hears you. Galatians 6:9, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Persistent prayer moves mountains. Isn't that what James said? "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." You see, that's consistency. That's persistence. That is fervent. Pray, pray, pray. If you've got someone who's lost, keep praying. If you've got a marriage that's struggling, keep praying. If you've got health issues, keep praying. Got problems at work, keep praying. Keep praying and don't stop. Be persistent. Again, I challenge us this week, set a time every single day that you're going to pray and don't miss it. You know how they caught Daniel? Every time, at a certain time, during the day, they knew he'd be praying. I want our prayer lives to be like that. You may have noticed several that were here and now they're gone. A few of those went to the Azalea Festival. I'm not a big fan that the Azalea Festival is on Sunday. We're part of the Chamber of Commerce. I'm sure we'll get a voice in that in the future. May not change anything, but we'll try. But needless to say, we had some that went out there to set up for that. They're going to evangelize our name. Most of all, they're going to evangelize God's name. We need to be praying. We need to be praying about that. We need to be praying about those efforts. You know, I was so proud when someone passes away like Polly, and then the situation happens like Mike experienced. There were so many people praying. We need that type of persistence for growth, for souls that are lost, for souls that we haven't contacted yet. So I want to challenge you this week, set a time every day, don't miss it, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just keep showing up just like Jesus did and be persistent with your prayers. But then there's final one this morning. If we're going to pray like Jesus, we've got to pray with power. You see, this is where it gets good. listen, none of this is detrimental to our salvation. In fact, it's for our salvation. It's for our spiritual health. But I want you to listen to this power part especially today. Turn in your Bibles to John 11, if you will. We're going to start in verse 41. You'll recall that this is the death of Lazarus. Lazarus, who is Jesus' friend, he's dead. And Jesus is going to prove his power now. But listen to this story. These words of it anyhow. So they took away the stone, verse 41, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Again, Jesus is standing at the tomb of Lazarus. Did you notice what he prayed? Folks, Jesus hesitated. You remember the story, right? He heard that Lazarus was sick, but he hesitated. This is a moment that really overturns everything in history. Up until now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other religious people of that day, they could fake some of these miracles, okay? They could kind of, "Hey, don't believe this guy, he's a lunatic. He's not the Son of God, he's not the Messiah. Look, we can do some of these things." But they couldn't raise somebody from the dead and fake it. This is the turning point of Jesus Christ's life. He hesitated because he knew when he stood at that tomb, because he had already prayed for God to raise Lazarus from the dead, he was going to raise Lazarus. And the people around him would believe in God, and the people who were his enemies would then threaten to kill him, and they did. But he stood at the tomb of Lazarus with all that on his mind, and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me." In other words, "God, thank you for what is about to happen. Lazarus, come back to life." And he did. You see, that's power. There is power in prayer. Jesus prayed with confidence, knowing the Father was listening. Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Do you believe that God exists? You see, that's faith. And today, if you have faith, you can pray with power. Jesus believed His prayers mattered. And they did. Olivia's coming on down. Just own the place, baby. Because of the power of prayer and Jesus' confidence in God, you know what happened? Lazarus came back to life. But that wasn't the first time. There were a lot of storms that stopped. There were a lot of demons that fled. There were a lot of sick people that were healed. Again, our prayers have power too. I already referenced James 5:16. The prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know what that didn't say? The prayer of a righteous person is weak and wimpy. It said they are powerful and effective. But here's the catch. You can have all that. We can have all that. But we cannot pray in fear. We must pray in faith. You've got to believe God is going to answer it. Stop praying like God's too busy for you. Stop praying like God's too stingy for you. Pray like Jesus, bold, expectant, and trusting. This week, pray with power over your home. Pray with power over your kids. Pray with power over your church. Pray with power over your job. Pray with power over your school. Claim the promises of God. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And get this, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's power, church. Let's tap into that power. So here we are at the end. Jesus has called us to pray like Him. That is to pray with purpose, to pray with persistence, and to pray with power. Jesus didn't just teach His disciples by mouth to pray. He showed them. He lived it. And He's inviting you and me to do the same. Imagine what this congregation would look like if we became a person of prayer like Jesus. Now, some of you may do that. But I would imagine we can all do a little better. What would this congregation look like if we all committed to that and did it? There'd be a lot of families restored. There'd be a lot of souls that were saved. And it'd put the devil on the run. Because he'd be scared. Because we're a people who are on our knees before the throne of God. So I'm challenging us all right now, today, build a strong prayer life. Start small if you have to. Maybe it's 5 minutes a day. But you can pray with purpose, you can pray with persistence, and you can pray with power in that 5 minutes. No matter how long it is, just start. Just get it going. Maybe you need a prayer partner or partners like Cody's challenged us. Find somebody that will help you, keep you accountable. Get in the Word of God because Scripture fuels prayer. And then when it's all said and done, don't stop. Pray like Jesus. Until you see the power of God break through. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before You today. We're hungry, Father. We're hungry to pray like Your Son. Father, we ask You to teach us. Teach us, remind us, show us how we ought to pray. Stir us up, God. Help us to be a people of prayer. Help it to be all about Your glory. Help it to be all about Your kingdom. Father, we pray for the efforts that are going on at the Azalea Festival. We pray for people that will come by that booth, that will see bright and loving, encouraging people to hear about the church that meets right here at Azalea City. Father, I pray for success, that seeds will be planted. And that, Father, we'll be able to have opportunities to build relationships with these people. Father, I pray for those who are sick. I pray for those who are hurting, but especially right now, Father. I pray for those that do not know You who are in this congregation today. For those who haven't confessed the name of Jesus Christ and been immersed in water for the forgiveness of all their sins. Father, I pray today they make that decision. That it will burn inside them, that they will be compelled to become Your child today. Or if there be those who are here today, Father, that need to come forward at the invitation because they have some type of sin going on in their life or problem or something publicly that they need to get rid of. Father, I pray they'll have that courage to do it. Or Father, if we just need to be in the seat that we're in and turn away from something in our personal lives that's keeping us from being with You, praying with You, may we all make that decision today. Father, help us to be a people of prayer. We trust You. We know You'll hear our prayers and answer them in the way You know best. We offer this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.